Today is Thursday, August 14th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Socialist Equality Party holds International Summer School on Security and the Fourth International by Joseph Kishore. Between August 2nd and August 9th, the Socialist Equality Party of the U.S. held its biennial summer school, attended by members of the SEP in the U.S., along with delegates from all the sections and sympathizing groups of the International Committee of the Fourth International, or ICFI. The subject of the 2025 summer school was Security in the Fourth International, the investigation initiated by the ICFI in May 1975. Into the assassination of Leon Trotsky, the co-leader of the Russian Revolution and founder of the Fourth International, who was murdered by Stalinist agent Ramon Mercader on August 20, 1940. As the investigation revealed, the Stalinist GPU prepared and organized the assassination through the systematic infiltration of agents into the Trotskyist movement, including the Socialist Workers' Party in the United States. Today, the World Socialist Website publishes the introductory report to the school, titled The Place of Security in the Fourth International in the History of the Trotskyist Movement, delivered by David North, chairman of the SEP of the United States and the International Editorial Board of the World Socialist Website. In the coming weeks, the WSWS will post the video and text of all the lectures presented at the school. Over 7 days, the summer school reviewed in detail the Security in the Fourth International investigation, situating it within the historical trajectory of the Trotskyist movement. This was accomplished through 29 intensive lectures, a significant number of which were delivered by newer members of the movement. As North noted in his opening remarks, quote, "We have before us a very challenging week. The lectures will encompass a huge amount of material relating to history, politics, and even law. But we are living in challenging and dangerous times, and objective events will impose huge demands upon our cadre," unquote. The school began with lectures on Trotsky's theory of permanent revolution, the strategic foundations of the 1917 October Revolution, and the program of World Socialist Revolution. These lectures established the continuity, connecting the perspective that led the October Revolution to victory, Lenin's last struggle against nationalism and bureaucracy in the Soviet state, and the left opposition's fight against Stalinism and the theory of socialism in one country. From there, the lectures trace the vast and horrific consequences of the Stalinist repudiation of international socialism, the betrayal of the 1926 general strike in Britain in the Chinese Revolution of 1925 through 1927, the catastrophic defeat of the German working class in 1933, and the betrayals in Spain and France in the 1930s, paved the way for the triumph of fascism in Europe and the outbreak of the Second World War. Of exceptional significance was a lecture which documented the immense influence within the Soviet Union of the Trotskyist opposition to the Stalinist bureaucracy well into the 1930s. The school then examined the Stalinist campaign of political genocide against the revolutionary Marxist vanguard, the Moscow trials and the Great Terror of 1937 and 38. Were the centerpiece of a vast purge aimed at eradicating every surviving representative of the October Revolution. Between 1935 and 1940, nearly 2 million people were arrested on political charges in the Soviet Union, of whom 688,503 were shot. Thousands of socialist workers and the intelligentsia were annihilated. Astronomers, biologists, physicians, historians, philosophers, musicians, writers, and poets. Leon Trotsky, co-leader of the October Revolution and founder of the Fourth International, was the central target of this campaign of terror. After a decade of relentless persecution and the murder of many of his closest collaborators, including his son Lev Sedov, Trotsky was assassinated in Mexico on August 20, 1940, by GPU agent Ramon Mercader. The second half of the school provided a detailed account of the Security in the Fourth International investigation. David North explained in his introduction, quote, "With the initiation of the security in the Fourth International Investigation, the Trotskyist movement passed on to the offensive against the counter-revolutionary bureaucracies. Launched in the face of slanders, provocations, and lies from the apologists of Stalinism, the investigation established, on the basis of meticulously documented fact, the truth of the allegations it advanced. The lectures reviewed the investigation's exposure of the operations of a network of GPU agents operating within and around the Fourth International prior to the assassination of Trotsky, including the assassin Mercader, Mark Zaborowski, the most important GPU agent who was responsible for the murder of several leading Trotskyists, including Erwin Wolff, Ignace Frace, Sadov, and Rudolf Clement, Sylvia Callan, the secretary of SWP leader James Cannon, and Joseph Hansen, one of Trotsky's secretaries at the time of the assassination, who later became an informer for the FBI. They address critical turning points in security in the Fourth International, the background to its initiation in 1975, the publication of key documents revealing the operations of GPU agents in the conspiracy to assassinate Trotsky, the uncovering of evidence of SWP leader Joseph Hansen's meetings with both the GPU and the FBI, and the 1977 assassination of Workers' League member Tom Heneghan. Three lectures detailed the origins and development of the Gelfand, initiated in 1979 by Alan Gelfand, who was expelled from the SWP for asking questions about Hansen's ties to the GPU and FBI and the party's cover-up of the role of Sylvia Callan as an agent of the GPU. In the face of united opposition from the SWP leadership in the state, Gelfand sought to compel the government to reveal and remove its agents from the party. The depositions conducted during the case provided irrefutable evidence that the SWP leadership was compromised by government agents, and the trial concluded with the release of grand jury testimony confirming that Callan was an agent of the GPU. The security and the Fourth International investigation exposed not only the operations of the Stalinist and imperialist state, but also the political forces that sought to block and discredit it. As North explained in his introductory report, quoting, "The concern with historical experience, political principles, and the programmatic foundations of the Fourth International that formed the basis of the education of the cadre of the International Committee was the polar opposite of the crude pragmatism, opportunism, and an atmosphere of cynicism that prevailed within the Socialist Workers' Party and the Pavlovite United Secretariat. The leaders of these organizations could not be swayed by the evidence uncovered by the International Committee, no matter how damning," unquote. 50 years after its initiation, the security in the Fourth International investigation has stood the test of time. Its conclusions have been confirmed and strengthened by new evidence, including material released after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. These documents exposed critical details of the assassination plot, such as the role of Robert Sheldon Hart, an SWP member sent to Mexico to serve as a guard, who was, in fact, a Stalinist agent. In the past 5 years, additional evidence reviewed at the school has shed new light on the role of Sylvia Agilov, whose personal relationship with Ramon Mercader was used to facilitate Trotsky's murder. The fight for security has direct and urgent relevance to the present political situation. The SCP's 2025 summer school concluded just days before Trump deployed the military onto the streets of Washington, D.C., a critical stage in the ongoing conspiracy to establish a fascistic dictatorship in the United States. This assault on democratic rights is part of a global trend, unfolding alongside the ongoing genocide in Gaza, the U.S.-NATO war against Russia, and the intensifying preparations for war against China. In every country, the ruling oligarchy is pursuing a program of social counter-revolution aimed at destroying the living standards and rights of the working class. At the same time, mass opposition is developing in the working class and among young people, driven by the deepening crisis of capitalism. The decisive question, however, is that of leadership. The building of such a leadership is inseparably bound up with bringing forward the history of the socialist movement, including the strategic lessons of the security and the Fourth International investigation. The body of evidence reviewed at the school will form the basis for lectures and meetings in the coming months to mark the 85th anniversary of Trotsky's assassination and to deepen the political lessons of the struggle waged to uncover the truth. All readers of the World Socialist website are urged to carefully study the lectures from the SCP 2025 Summer School, which will be published in the coming weeks, as an essential preparation for the political struggles now unfolding in the United States and throughout the world. Trump Seeks Long-Term Military Police Control of Washington, D.C. by Patrick Martin. Encouraged by the absence of any significant opposition from the Democratic Party to his military police takeover of Washington, D.C., President Donald Trump said Wednesday that he would ask Congress to give him long-term control of the police force in the U.S. Capitol. He added that he expected Democratic-led city governments to change their criminal justice laws. This could include rescinding restrictions on cash bail, treating juveniles as adults in court, and authorizing police to take a more aggressive role in relation to criminal suspects. U.S. police already kill more than 1,000 civilians a year, far more than any other major capitalist country. Trump made his comments at the end of a visit to the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts venue, where he announced he was taking full control of the center's fall awards program, including selecting the honorees and acting as the host for the televised ceremony. He said, quote, "We're going to need a crime bill that we're going to be putting in, and it's going to pertain initially to D.C. We're going to use it as a very positive example, and we're going to be asking for extensions on that, long-term extensions, because you can't have 30 days, unquote. He was referring to the 30-day limit on presidential control of the D.C. police, set by the 1973 D.C. Home Rule Act. A long-term extension would require legislation, which could be blocked in the Senate by the Democrats. Trump seemed confident of a full capitulation by the Democrats, however, as he said he would propose the bill, quote, very quickly, unquote. Trump then added ominously that there were other options, claiming, quote, if it's a national emergency, we can do it without Congress. He continued, quote, I don't want to call in a national emergency, adding, if I have to, I will. He did not make it clear whether he was referring to the Insurrection Act of 1807, which Trump threatened to use in 2020 against the mass arrests over the police murder of George Floyd, and which was discussed during the first weeks of his second term, in relation to protests against federal immigration raids. The actual deployment of police and military forces in the District of Columbia has steadily escalated since Trump's announcement on Monday morning. Officials claimed that more than 1,450 district and federal police participated in patrols on Tuesday, with only 30 National Guard troops out of the 800 who have been called up. This was nearly double the 850 police sent out on Monday after Trump's announcement of the federal takeover. The White House claimed that 19 teams of officers from federal agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, have been deployed in the district to, quote, promote public safety and arrest violent offenders, unquote. The federal agents are armed, while the National Guard troops will not be initially, since their task will be to, quote, protect federal assets, provide a safe environment for law enforcement officers to make arrests, and deter violent crime with a visible law enforcement presence. The pretext of a crime wave in Washington, D.C. is a brazen lie, concocted by the White House to justify putting the U.S. Capitol effectively under military police rule. Attorney General Pam Bondi is in overall charge of the police, with the subordinate Drug Enforcement Agency Director Terry Cole acting as the day-to-day commander. Secretary of the Army Daniel Driscoll will direct the operations of the National Guard. According to a White House official who spoke to the press, the National Guard will have a much larger presence on the streets Wednesday night, and that operations will be conducted around the clock, 24/7, rather than focused on a nighttime presence only, as on the first 2 days. Trump's decision to invoke a provision of the Home Rule Act allowing him to take temporary control over the Washington police, has put the entire political system, Congress, the courts, and the media, to the test. Without exception, there has been no resistance to the coup-like assertion of presidential authority, beyond a few rhetorical criticisms of the authoritarian character of the action. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, a Democrat, called Trump's action unsettling and unprecedented, and later called it authoritarian. But she met with Attorney General Bondi and acknowledged that the federal government now controlled the D.C. police. Bowser called the meeting on Tuesday productive and pledged that the city would work with the Trump administration to, quote, make Washington, D.C. safe again, unquote. Several Washington-area Democratic congressmen criticized the takeover as unnecessary, given the absence of any real crime wave. But none suggested that Trump was taking the next step in a worked-out plan to establish a presidential dictatorship. The media response has similarly been muted, with the crisis in the district downplayed by Wednesday reporting in major newspapers and the television networks. The New York Times, the chief media organ aligned with the Democratic Party, did not even publish an editorial commenting on Trump seizing control of the U.S. Capitol, while the Washington Post criticized it only from the standpoint that it would not be sufficient to stop crime. Trump's actions in the district, whether they end in 30 days or continue indefinitely, are setting a dangerous precedent. He has already threatened similar measures in cities like Chicago and New York. He is also testing out the machinery of repression that would be required either for direct seizure of dictatorial power or the suppression of mass resistance in major cities to his immigration raids or other provocations. In that regard, testimony in a federal district court in California is revealing. The case involves the challenge by the state of California to Trump's order federalizing the National Guard and deploying 4,000 California National Guard troops into Los Angeles to back up violent immigration roundups. Testifying Tuesday, Major General Scott Sherman, who commanded the National Guard troops, revealed that he had been rebuked by a top Customs and Border Patrol official when he questioned the planned joint federal-state sweep of MacArthur Park in a heavily immigrant neighborhood of Los Angeles, after Sherman objected to sending heavily armored military vehicles through the park. The CBP official, Gregory Covino, questioned his loyalty to the United States. CBO report says Trump's Robin Hood in reverse law takes from the poor and gives to the rich, by Barry Gray. An analysis of Trump's Tax and Spending Act, issued Monday by the Nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, or CBO, confirms that the measure signed into law last month transfers trillions of dollars in income from the poor to the wealthy. In a letter responding to a request from top Democratic lawmakers for an analysis of the distributive effects of Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, the CBO reported that the top 10% of income earners will see an average annual increase of $13,600 over the next decade, representing a 2.7% rise in income. The gains will come primarily from the extension and expansion of the 2017 tax cut, enacted during Trump's first term, which overwhelmingly benefits the super rich. It is estimated that the top 0.1% will see an average income increase of 3.9%, that is, about $389,000 per year. The lowest 10% of income earners will lose about $1,200 per year, a decrease of 3.1% in their average annual income of $39,464. Losses are due to cuts in social safety net programs like Medicaid and SNAP, or food stamps, and new work requirements that will limit access to those benefits. This loss will impact the ability of low-income households to make rent or car note payments and plunge many into destitution. Middle-income households can expect a modest annual resource increase between $800 and $1,200, according to the CBO. The Tax and Spending Act, provides $3.8 trillion in tax cuts for the rich and the super rich. To help offset the cost of this boondoggle for the corporate oligarchy, plus $170 billion in anti-immigrant enforcement and an additional $150 billion for the military in 2025, it cuts $930 billion in Medicaid in the form of stricter work requirement and eligibility rules and $285 billion in food stamps. In addition, it rolls back clean energy incentives and cuts student loan debt relief by $320 billion. The massive increase in spending for Trump's pogrom against immigrants includes $46 billion to complete his border wall and $45 billion to expand migrant detention facilities, in reality, concentration camps. It also provides for the hiring of 10,000 new Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE agents, and 3,000 new Border Patrol officers. More than 71 million Americans, or 1 in 5, rely on Medicaid, the government health insurance program for low-income and disabled people. The CBO estimates that 10 million will lose their coverage by 2034 as a result of the cuts in the Big Beautiful Bill. The 20% cut in food stamps will impact a program on which 40 million Americans rely to help pay for food. The CBO estimates that the cut in this program will cause over 2.4 million people to lose food assistance. The bill adds $3.3 trillion to the national debt, already at $37 trillion, and raises the debt limit by $5 trillion. This means that the ruling class will seek to solve its debt and dollar crisis by moving on to the destruction of what remains of the social safety net from the 1930s and 1960s, including Medicare and Social Security. This is a class war program against the working class. It is already fueling rising opposition in the population and will provoke a mass movement of the working class. It is in preparation for this eruption of class struggle that Trump is seeking to establish a presidential dictatorship with the full support of the Republican Party and the complicity of the Democrats, who have not lifted a finger to seriously oppose Trump's policies. The Republicans dismissed the CBO report as rigged in favor of the Democrats. Representative Jason Smith, the Republican chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, said, quote, CBO has a troubled track record of getting its estimates incorrect and, like Democrats, is biased in favor of more federal spending and higher taxes, unquote. The Democrats carried out various maneuvers to stall the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill and voted against it, but have never called for mass protests, let alone strikes, to oppose its implementation. Like the Republicans, they are a party of the capitalist ruling class and its military intelligence apparatus. The Democrats support brutal cuts in social programs to pay for ever-widening military aggression and to help offset U.S. capitalism's economic crisis. They offer no resistance to Trump's moves to dictatorship, which they fear far less than the emergence of a movement of the working class against capitalism. As the WSWS wrote at the time of the bill's passage, it is a naked expression of class rule, a sweeping assault dictated by and for the billionaires who dominate American society. The legislation represents the policy of the corporate financial elite embodied in the fascistic Trump administration and demonstrates with brutal clarity that the capitalist state, including both big business parties, exists solely to defend and expand the wealth and power of his parasitic class. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.